This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mick Delivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Take care of your property with equipment you can count on, like the Kubota BX and LO1 series compact tractors, part of our under 100 horsepower tractor lineup, rated number one for reliability, and Z-Series mowers and Sidekick utility vehicles, where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit GoKubota.com for a dealer near you.
And welcome back to Cottage Talk Full Time. I'm Russ Coleman. Joining me right now is the form shadow, Emilio Danella, as he adjusts his camera. And then, of course, we have Craig Coben. This is our initial reaction to Fulham's 1-0 loss to Nottingham Forest. And unfortunately, guys, their loss and Bournemouth getting a point, Fulham cannot obviously clinch the title. It's unfortunate. And I thought the match overall was unfortunate. I thought it was, a match they should not have lost, but they did. And I want to start off, before I go to both of you, I want to give credit to Nottingham Forest. We'll just start, give them the credit that they deserve for holding on and getting a goal to win the match. And now they have a chance for automatic promotion. That's good for them. But that's about all I'm going to say about Nottingham Forest. This is more to do for me about Fulham losing a match that I don't think that they should have lost, guys. Over to you first, Mr. Danella. I want the opening thoughts of the shadow. I'm very disappointed by this, my friend. Very disappointed.
Yeah. Hey, Greg. Hi again. Hi, Russ. I am very disappointed, to be honest. I thought the game overall was very disappointing. I think if I was coming into this game expecting a very open, classy, high-scoring match, plenty of goals, good football, but first off, there were glimpses from both teams of that. But then,
yes.
We gifted them a goal, to be honest. Kamikaze defending and goalkeeping there. And overall, we just didn't show enough quality, resilience. I think there's some of the adjectives we've talked about, when the team goes behind,
yep,
we struggle against teams that frustrate us. You know, there's a lot of gamesmanship, especially in that second half, which disappoints. Overall, Forest, I don't think Forest deserved a win. I thought we were good value for a draw. I think we had our moments.
I agree with that.
Forest didn't really create much second half. And well, to be honest, we just need to show a little bit more fight, a little bit more strength, a little bit more resilience, get less frustrated, and just focus on our style of football. But overall, our substitutions didn't make much of a difference. I think I want to talk
about substitutions.
I was disappointed by those. But overall, disappointed not to have got at least a point. But overall, I thought it was a poor match from two of the best teams in this division.
Very interesting. Over to you, Craig. Feel free to share your thoughts. And also, if you want to share thoughts on what both Emilio and I said, and again, I kind of echo a lot of what Emilio just said. I don't know. Again, these are two of the better sides. And they did a good job of frustrating us. They got a fortunate goal. We'll call it a fortunate goal. Give them credit for the goal, but let's call it a very bad goal to give up. Craig. I put that more in Fulham than I do anything else. And Fulham didn't do enough to get that goal. They had the opportunities, and they frustrated us, and it happens when we go behind, especially against a good team. Why can we not get that equalizer? So I want to get your thoughts.
Well, the first observation I would make is that the away kit for Nottingham Forest had to be the ugliest kit I've ever seen.
They talked about that during the match, by the way.
Fluorescent yellow. I thought that they should probably have like one of those little lollipops and help school children across the street. I've never seen a kit quite like that. And it made it almost difficult and painful for me to watch the match. As far as the game goes, I think we lost the game in the first half.
Yes.
To, first of all, an incredibly sloppy goal, but more importantly, because we struggled both with their press and with the quick counterattacks that they were
absolutely correct.
They caught us flat footed on several occasions, and they could have actually scored more in the first half. I thought in the second half we outplayed them, but we didn't create all that many chances. A couple we did. And frankly speaking, they had a couple of chances themselves, including one in which Rodak made an absolutely spectacular save after there was a breakaway by Nottingham Forest due to a mistake by Tim Ream. So overall, it was a disappointing match. We were playing arguably the team of in the best form in the championship.
Right.
I believe that since Steve Cooper has taken over as manager in September, Nottingham Forest have scored more points than any other team in the division, including Fulham. So we have to recognize that we played against a very good team, and I think they caused us a lot of problems with their press and with their counterattacking, especially in the first half.
Okay, very good stuff. Back over to you, Emilio. I want to talk a little bit about this because, again, you've already mentioned this. I'm going to share this comment. Are you guys concerned about our lack of winning games from being 1-0 down? What does this mean for us in the Premier League? This is a great question because we've seen this time and time again. They have come back a few times, but for the most part, they're a front-running team, Emilio. So how concerned are you going into the next season? And again, I want to talk about a topic that I have for us when we talk about the defense in general. But what are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, and I think if we go back to the beginning of the season, I think what we always said with Silva is you're going to win many games, and you're probably going to lose quite a few games. You're not going to get many draws. I think that was always one of his traits when he was managing other teams.
That's been very true.
High win ratio and a high lose ratio, but not many draws. So, you know, that does worry me. Today, I agree with Craig, the high pressing, we struggled in that first half in particular, but we struggled with the gamesmanship, the tactics, you know. They were trying to slow the game down because we were pressing a lot in that second half. But yep. 1 minute, one guy falls over with an injury with his knee, then a leg, then a head injury. It was just the game was start, stop. And that's where we struggle. We're hungry. We're determined. We want to get on with the game. And sometimes we have to play ball and play against referee. I thought the referee was abysmal today. I don't know what you think, Craig.
Oh, but that, he got high praise. He got high praise on the broadcast that I got high praise, and I'm thinking
high praise.
I'm watching this high praise.
Some of his decisions,
he got every decision
for me,
right. I'm just telling you what I heard.
Goodness me, I just worry about the ability for us to turn around a deficit and find a way forward because give us ideas. We were pressing, we were creating opportunities. Especially that second half, Williams, Wilson were linking up well. We had the pace over them, but it's that final ball sometimes was just not quite there. We didn't get the rub of the green at times. So again, there are some games where we go in and win 5 or 6 goals for the good. There'll be other games where we just struggled to break them down. But overall, Forest did a job on us, and I think we've got to learn from that. It's got to be a lesson learned in the transfer window. We've got to find players with more resilience, more strength in midfield, in particular, a bit more quality and creativity in central midfield, and get maybe and better overall finishing. But overall, look. It's another defeat. We've almost got the championship to our name. I'm not going to get too despondent. Bournemouth, lucky they've come away with another point tonight. But
they were down 3-0.
We're almost there. Yeah. But let's worry. I'm more worried about prioritising the Premier League and where we need to reinforce a team, but rather than focusing on tonight's disappointing performance.
Okay, very good. And Craig, right back to you. just one final thought on the struggles against the press and also the counter. What can we take out of this moving forward towards next season? Because we're going to see this again. And every time we've seen it, and I've actually had Steve Reynolds message me that we continue to struggle against the press. Is this on Marco Silva? Is it on the players? Is it a little bit of both? How can they fix this problem moving forward?
Well, one way to counter the press is to pass your way out, but we don't seem to have the players who are able to do that when we're playing against a very strong team and we're playing a 4-3-3. And so we don't really have an outlet up front other than Mitrovic, and that's not sufficient against a strong set of central defenders. The other possibility, of course, is we could have gone with two up front, as we did towards the end of the game. With Mitrovic and Muniz, when we changed from a 4-3-3 to what looked like a 3-5-2.
Right.
The problem there is that both Mitrovic and Muniz are kind of occupying the same space, and they're kind of stepping on each other's toes a little bit. Mm-hmm. So if you're asking me what we need to do next season, and it is, first of all, we need to get players who can pass the ball more quickly out of the back.
Okay.
And secondly, I think we need to have a wide striker because we're a little bit of a one-trick pony up front. Now, he's a beautiful pony. He's a thoroughbred, Mitrovic. He's an amazing striker. But in the Premiership, it's not going to be enough. And I think we saw that tonight where we didn't really have any answers to the defensive setup that Nottingham Forest had. Nottingham Forest were playing three in the back. And you would have thought that we would have had an advantage with just one striker. We would have had more people in the midfield. It didn't turn out that way. And then by the time we put two people up front, you know, again, they didn't really create enough space for each other. And so I do think that although Mitrovic has had a record-setting season, I don't think we should be lulled into thinking that we have quite the right strike force for the Premiership.
Okay. And listen, I've seen some speculation linking Fulham to a striker. So hopefully we bring in another striker, Craig. That's actually a good point. And Emilio, I want to go back to you because I'm seeing a lot of comments in regards to Cabano. So that's going to lead me to ask you your thoughts on the starting 11. Again, I was speaking to a friend of ours shortly before we started the show. And a couple things I noticed was Cabano not playing, Joe Bryan starting. There was no Anthony Robinson on the bench. I still have not heard any reason why he was not even included. So I don't know what's going on there. But what were your thoughts about the starting 11? And also, Seri's included, and you have Reed in a little bit different role. So what were your thoughts about all this with the starting 11? Do you think Silva got this wrong or got this right and we just didn't execute?
I'd probably question more. I think the Joe Bryan situation, I think obviously there's probably an injury to Robinson. So that's fair enough. I don't question Cabana not starting. I think probably Reed was probably started because of his defensive capabilities there and knowing how high pressed Nottingham Forest play in their style of football. That was a way to tactically manage that, you know, the press for Nottingham Forest. So I think he got that right, albeit Robbie Reed didn't really perform tonight. Seri, for me, was man of the match, and we'll talk about that in a moment. I thought he looked in control. His passing was good. It's just silky passing. It makes me feel a lot more comfortable. But Harrison Reed, unfortunately, is playing out of position. I think as many of the fans keep mentioning, if you're going
to
play
Harrison, to do that. Yeah.
Play Harrison Reed in his natural position or don't play him and put him on the bench. You can't play Seri and Harrison Reed in the same team. And I think we lacked a bit of quality in midfield. And then, you know, so starting 11, to be honest, I don't question the starting. I think that was a good starting 11. I thought that on paper, that was good enough to get a victory. The substitutions would let me down. I thought with some odd substitutions, especially Williams coming off and Cabana not given 20, 25 minutes of game time.
Very interesting stuff there. Over to you, Craig, as we talk about the starting 11. This is from my friend Steve Reynolds in Spain. Starting lineup was wrong and defensive. Tete and Cabano should have started that at times can prevent the press tactics. What are your thoughts about that, Craig?
Look, I actually think Tete should have started because I think he crosses the ball extremely well and he's a very progressive player. We clearly had difficulties on the left side. Now, if Brian started because Robinson was injured, I understand that. But we, you know, I think Spence and Johnson for Nottingham Forest caused us a lot of problems on that side, and we weren't really able to handle it. Whether we should have had Cabano or Declan Dover-Reed, hard to say. I mean, Declan Dover-Reed was fairly invisible during the match, if I'm being honest. And I guess the real question for me, again, is given the press that they played, should we have maybe reconsidered our 4-3-3 setup? Because we just did not have the right structure to handle the kind of press that they were putting on us.
Okay, very good stuff. All right, guys, let's get into it. And Emilio, I thought the match started fairly well. And, you know, I could just see that I had a good feeling going into this match. I had a feeling that we could match up okay with this team, and I figured we would score a goal or two. But then we have the goal, and I don't know if you got a good look at the goal, but I've seen a lot of goals given up over my years of watching film. This has to be one of the worst, okay? Yeah. I've never seen – I shouldn't say – I've seen some very bad goals. I remember I saw Tim Ream against Derby County. That was a mess, if you remember that one.
Mm.
But this one was horrible, Emilio, and preventable. And this just set up what we saw after that. If this doesn't go in, I think the match is completely different. So what are your thoughts about Fulham giving up this, I'm going to call it, horrible goal? Horrible.
Yeah, it was awful. It's awful. I've deliberately not watched a replay of it, but in the lead up to the goal, I thought it was a very open game. Both sides, you know, looking forward, it was very open, very expansive. And the type of game I was expecting to see from the probably arguably the two best teams in the division. But but it's a horrible goal to give away. I thought there's potentially a foul in the lead up to that, into the goal. Again, I haven't seen the replay, but Steve Lidyard assures me he would have given it as a foul and a free kick to Fulham. But you know,
Silva went crazy.
We had opportunities
to clear
the ball.
Silva went nuts.
You know, so you know, Ream had plenty of time to clear that ball, but equally he was directly in front of me, and I could see Tim Ream. You know, giving hand signals to Rodak, come here, come here, come and clear the ball, come and get the ball, come and get the ball. Rodak stayed in his spot, looking absolutely clueless. And again, it's like both are at 40. Ream could have cleared the ball, but I saw him communicated to Rodak with his hand signals to come here, come, come, come.
Yep.
Rodak stayed rooted to his spot, and obviously the ball got poked in. And, you know, it was a kamikaze goal, to be honest. But both are at fault. But I'll give 25% of fault to Ream, who could have done the easy job and just hoofed the ball away. And Rodak, who at times made some important saves during the game, like Craig said, but that was poor goalkeeping there, lacking leadership. And you need a strong goalkeeper in the Premier League who commands his box a lot better than what we've seen of Rodak the last 2 or 3 months. So sorry, Rodak, another mistake to add to your collection this season.
Okay, and Craig, I want to go to you because we're talking about the goal, but I want to also talk about the big picture, because I have a lot of comments on this. Because, again, we're looking towards the Premier League. Let's call it what it is. They give up this comedic goal. We're talking about problems with the press. I don't think this defense, the way it's constituted right now, is good enough for the Premier League. I don't think anyone is going to disagree with me on that. We keep seeing instances of errors, mistakes. I love Tim Ream. We know he's not going to be able to do it in the Premier League. Tosin, potentially. If we keep Nico Williams, potentially. I think Tete can as well. Joe Bryan can't. And I still have doubts about Rodak. And I think we're seeing this during some of these losses and results that don't go Fulham's way. I think it comes down to the defense, Craig. And I think we saw it again tonight.
No, look, you're right. I think it's worth going through what happened actually on the goal, because I think it's sort of emblematic of some of the problems that we had.
Yeah, go ahead.
They took a quick throw in. They took a very quick throw in. And effectively, I can't remember the guy's name, Danish player. You know, he outraced Ream to the ball. And Ream, I thought Ream, from where I was sitting, could have cut the ball out. Instead, he just tried to ride out the player and let Rodak pick up the ball. And of course, there was the miscommunication. And the goal was scored. But we do make too many mistakes. I don't think our defense is good enough for the Premiership. We will probably need to upgrade. at the goalkeeper level, just as we did last season when we were in the Premiership. Rodak was not the starting goalkeeper.
Yeah.
He's a good shot blocker, but he his distribution and his command of the box are probably not at the Premiership level. I think also we're probably going to need more depth at the central defense, you know, probably to replace Ream. And, you know, Tosin looked good in the Premiership, but he had an outstanding partner next to him and Anderson. And so I don't know how well he would cope on his own. And then as far as the wings go, I still believe Kenny Tett is a fantastic player, but he is injury prone. Nico Williams, to me, is still unproven. And on the left side, I don't know about whether either player, either Brian or Robinson, really can be in the starting 11 of a Premiership team.
I agree with that.
So it does feel like we're going to have to do a substantial amount of recruitment. And we all know that finding world-class defenders is very difficult and very expensive.
Totally agree. And I'm going to just share this last comment. I've been sharing comments about the defense. It's from Dave Cronin. Desperately need a commanding Hangerlin type center back who is also a leader. I would agree with that, Craig. And like you mentioned, when we had last season, you know, Tosin had someone that he could really, you know, work with in Joakim Andersson. They're going to need someone like that again. But
we need a Zat Knight. And Tavillion knows who I'm talking about. That's what we need, is that we need a kind of commanding center forward. You know, Tosin may be able to do it.
Yes.
But, you know, he was partnered with Andersson, and I think we have to recognize just how good, you know, that partnership was.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether they can replicate that next season. It really depends who else we bring in into the defense. But I also do think, you know, we can't just focus on the defenders. I think the midfield as well.
Yeah, I would agree,
not
Craig.
Quite quick enough. We look good up front, but the if you look at today's midfield, Harrison Reed, Jean-Michel Seri. Mm-hmm. I know the fans all say that he's Marco Silva's man and he's better than Zidane. And I may sing that in the Hammersmith stand, but I actually don't really believe that he's better than Zidane. Maybe he's better than Zidane now, but he's not better than Zidane when Zidane was in his prime.
Okay.
And Tom Kearney, you know, we all know what Tom Kearney can do, but he's a largely one-footed player.
And I think that's a hindrance, Craig.
In the Premiership.
Yes, I think... You know, listen, I love Tom Kearney, but there are so many times I wish he could use his other foot, and he just will not use his. He's too one-footed, Craig. And I think that, I think it's too slow. The buildup is too slow. I agree with you. I think we need more pace in central midfield.
So, look, we've got our work cut out for us. The last two times we were promoted, you know, we had a mixed record with recruitment.
Yeah.
There's always a danger of changing a team completely from because you lack the continuity.
Right.
And look, you know, we will win the division. We will win the division relatively easily. And so there is an argument for not, you know, for keeping many of the same players. However, I do think the championship is much weaker this season than it has been in past seasons.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
Because of the financial difficulties that some of the larger clubs have had. They haven't been able to recruit really good players from abroad. And, you know, I think that, you know, our stuttering form as we come into the end of the season has exposed a lot of the weaknesses that we have. This is a team that will go straight back down if we don't strengthen it.
See, but I'm glad that you brought that up. In a way, Craig, I'm kind of glad that they're being exposed, because I'm hoping that the higher-ups at the club react to it. Because you can't be watching this and think, okay, we're fine going into the Premier League. You should be watching everything to the very end and say, you know what, this is where we need to strengthen, because you're seeing the weaknesses in front of you. It's time to react now.
When you beat teams 7-0 twice,
you don't see it.
Or 6-2, you know, you think it's a walkover and you've got the greatest team in the world. But today, look, I thought in the first half we were outplayed, even though it was a joke of a goal that we conceded.
Right.
And you know, I think that in the last few games, you know, our form has been middling and it is not going to be good enough to stay in the Premiership.
No. No. And I totally agree with that. And I want to go over to you, because I think this is a good topic during this show to talk about. We've already talked about defense. Craig brought up the midfield. But in a way, I'm upset that they lost this match. But in a way, I'm glad what Craig said. I think it's exposing the weaknesses that need to be addressed.
Yeah. And again, I'm not going to, you know, then again, I'm trying to put a comparison between this team and the one that got promoted 2 years ago. Obviously, no comparison in terms of style of football, quality of football, but
right.
The inconsistency, especially the last 2 or 3 months from, you know, and the form that we've showed, the form that, you know, our record the last two or three months is not top two. We've faded very dramatically. And to be honest, we've only got a handful of more points than we had 2 years ago when we got promoted through the playoffs. Playing a horrible brand of football with a manager that was, you know, wasn't liked by our fans. So again, I think I mentioned this last week. You know, we've got 87 points. Okay, if we win the championship, so be it. But on paper, you know, we should have been romping towards a 100-point mark. You know, I remember the beginning of the season when we were winning those games 6-0, 7-0. All the fans were expecting us to hit 100 points very quickly. The goals have dried up at times. We've lacked more creativity. We're getting frustrated when we become inconsistent. So you look at our record of the last 2 or 3 months, it's not top three, top four quality, as far as I'm concerned. So yes, I agree with you, Russ. It's not a bad thing that we're exposing our frailties, and it just reinforces a point that we have to strengthen in those areas, goalkeeper, defence, and central midfield. And we do need another striker, to be honest. Exactly. So there's a lot of investment required, and I'm sure the owners are doing the right things, and they're obviously scouring the globe for appropriate signings. So I trust in our owners. So they've done it
so
twice.
Do I.
I don't have any issues there. But I think rather than dwelling on the same problems that we keep talking about week in, week out, it's a matter of fact, the division is weak. We've managed to get promoted. Let's build for the next season in the Premier League. And we do need a lot of reinforcements. But it's what's disappointing is just the fact how we've declined. You know, since those 6-2 wins, Bristol City and Birmingham, when was that? End of February time. We've been inconsistent. We've lost to Huddersfield at home, Coventry at home, Forest at home. You know, that's not good enough, to be honest. You know, and in each of those games, I thought we were second best. Not necessarily second best, but we didn't deserve to win any of those three games.
Okay, very good there. And I'm glad that we're talking about this, because as we get ready for the Premier League, we should be doing this. This is what the podcast is really can be useful for. We got to keep the club accountable, and that's what we're doing here. Again, I'm looking forward to them being in the Premier League, but I don't want to go right back down. And I think in a way, being able to talk about this allows us to get that out there. The other podcast, Friends of Fulham, all of these sites, I think, can put pressure and keep Fulham accountable. I believe in the ownership. I do. But we need to be voicing our thoughts on what we're watching, because recently it hasn't been good enough. Okay, good stuff. Craig, over to you. Before we go to the man of the match to end this, I want to get your thoughts about the second half in this way, because Fulham had plenty of chances in the second half to equalize. So do you just put this on... was that more to do with the goalkeeper and Nottingham Forest, or bad luck, or just not being clinical enough, or a little bit of everything?
It's a little bit of everything. There was the chance at the start of the second half that was scored by Declan Dover-Reed. I think it was Carvalho who had a fairly good shot on goal, which was well saved by Samba. And then we didn't have that many clear-cut chances. And our attacking started to become fairly predictable with attempts to cross the ball into Mitrovic.
Yep.
And against a defense like Nottingham Forest, where they had three very strong center backs, not to mention two excellent wingers, we couldn't really break down their defense all that often or all that easily.
Okay.
Yeah, you could say we didn't get the rub of the green, but it's not that apparent to me that we deserved to score a goal.
Okay.
The gamesmanship, the time wasting were incredibly annoying.
Okay. But Fulham did that against Bournemouth, so we have to mention that as well. Fulham actually did the same thing. So
yeah, but I agree with you, Craig. There's good and there's evil, right? So I think we're
okay.
Whom, if I may use, I think that's Lenin's term, right? It's who.
Okay.
Whom. So I don't really like it when other teams waste.
Oh,
time
I agree with you.
Feign injury.
I hate it. I hate it. And this is bad too. No, good point. The time wasted by them was horrible.
You know, I thought we probably deserved a draw, but I don't really feel that we have been hard done by the result.
Okay.
I don't think we played particularly well.
I think the goal is our own undoing.
Mm. Right. And by the way, they had the best chance in the second half when Ream was beaten by, I think it was Johnson, and then
they crossed
over to Sturridge, and Rodak made a phenomenal save.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. Okay, guys. To wrap up the show, go ahead.
I was going to say, Carvalho in the first half, you know, soon after we gave them a sloppy goal away, Carvalho should have done better. I mean, let's not forget that chance. If he had scored from position 1-1, it would have been a different game, to be honest. So I think we had our moments.
That's a good point. You know, that's a good point, because right half, after they
Williams
scored.
Wilson. Yeah. Wilson and Williams were linking up very well. Good balls in the box. Wilson making some great runs into the penalty area. And at the time, why did Marcus Silva change that? To be honest, that didn't need changing as far as I was concerned. That was where we were going to get a goal from the right hand side. But you know, he decided to put Tete on, which I found a little bit staggering in the circumstances.
Okay.
And you know, those substitutions, I think, maybe lost us the game as well. I thought we were pressing, and we were knocking on the door in that second half. You know, winning free kicks, a lot of corners. Amongst all the gamesmanship and bad tactics from Nottingham Forest, but overall, you know, he made those decisions and it didn't pay off, those substitutions.
Okay, and Emilio, I forgot to mention that. So before we go to talk about man of the match, I want to go to Craig. Your thoughts on the substitutions? Because I agree with Emilio. I didn't understand them.
I'm going to disagree with you guys a little bit. I actually thought Tete, when he came in, he added a bit of energy and he had put in a couple of good crosses. Look, the substitutions were basically, I think in the end, we changed from having a 4-3-3 to, I think, a 3-5-2. And that was to try to push, you know, more players up forward. You know, you're exchanging as well Kearney for Reed, which was a more sort of offensive structure in the midfield. You know, I think we were trying to push for that second goal. It didn't quite work out. And you know, there was that one moment where who was it cut in and backheeled it to Mitrovic, but he just couldn't get the ball away from his feet. You know, we had some moments. I didn't think the substitutions made were that problematic. Okay. I think we did need to change the formation a little bit to try to push forward for the goal.
Okay.
Whether they could have put in Cabano, you know, he takes free kicks really well, and that's certainly one reason that we should have considered him, especially because I thought Deckard Nova-Reed was fairly invisible in the match.
That's a great point. Okay, to end the show, coming up next, we're going to talk about man of the match. Okay, guys, we will finish up by talking about man of the match. I do want to mention this. I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the show, Emilio, because I was just upset by the loss. Subscribe to Cottage Talk on YouTube. I forgot to mention that. Please do. I actually saw someone, actually, I believe it's Greg Jones, already subscribed. Thank you so much. We really want to build up this YouTube channel, so thank you very much for doing that. But, guys, let's end the show with talk about man of the match. And Emilio, I talked to our friend Steve Reynolds, who will be with you for the Luton Town match. He already has sent a comment that he's going to help you over the barrier as we win the title. So, but anyways, who is your man of the match? He said Jean-Michel Seri.
Yeah, I agree. I think, but you know, he just provided a lot of quality. Good. He actually played a lot very well defensively today. I think he was, despite all the pressing, I thought he got stuck in quite, you know, throughout the game. His passing was slick and sublime at times, but he looked very assured throughout the game. The fact that he lasted the whole 90 minutes is a positive as well. So I think by far Seri was my man of the match. And I also thought Wilson looked lively, especially in that second half. You know, he tried to make things happen and we just didn't get a bit of luck and, you know, and quality. That maybe that final ball was lacking at times, but overall Seri by a country mile. I agree with Stephen Murray, and I'll give Wilson number two.
Okay, this is for you, Fulham Shadow. Fulham Shadow gets the man of the match for telling it like it is. I like that. Let's see. Let's see what we got for me, Russ, and Team Seri. Okay, so we got another Seri. I think I saw Dave Wilson said, or Dave Cronin, that's my mistake. That's a Goldman for you. Harry Wilson, man of the match. So we do have the comments coming. Mm. Steve Lignard has to go with Seri. So let's see. Steve Turner says Seri without a doubt. How about you, Craig?
I'm going to go with Seri as well. He's Marco Silva's man. He may not be better than Zidane, but he was he was our anchor in the midfield. And in addition, I think, you know, he was a key outlet for, you know, relieving us of the pressure on the, you know, we turned the ball over quite a few times.
We did.
In the first half. Mm-hmm. And without Seri, I think that we would have really been under the cosh. I don't think it was a particularly well-played game by Fulham.
No.
I don't think any player really stood out, but I think Seri was the best of the bunch.
Okay. What do you guys think of this comment from Steve Lignard, Emilia? Brian did okay.
Bit like last week's game. Good first half. Made a few mistakes in the second half. You know, you got caught out a few times. You know, ultimately a game of two halves, as Joe Bryan. A bit like last yep. Tuesday, you know, he had a great first half against Preston and maybe sat back a little bit more defensively in the second half. And today, same thing. He got some good crosses in the box in the first half. The second half, I thought it was quite anonymous, to be honest, and made a few mistakes, getting caught out.
Okay. I want to say this about our friend Steve Lydiard. Steve, how do we get you to trade places with Graham Scott so you could be in this division and he can be in your division, because he's horrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to mention that, Steve. I think you should be in the championship because that guy is horrific from the Bournemouth match. I haven't had a chance to talk about that, so I just want to mention that to end the show. Guys, I want to wrap it up. I've had you guys on for 35 minutes, probably too long. Craig, final thoughts before we wrap this up.
The final thoughts is that we have no room for complacency going up into the Premiership. We've been relegated two consecutive times. And I think our stuttering finish to the season have exposed a lot of weaknesses. Recruitment is going to be absolutely critical. And this time we have to get it right.
Totally agree. And that's why, like I said, in a way, I'm glad that some of these issues are coming to light. We're talking about them because they need to get it right, like Craig just said. Over to you, Emilio. Final thoughts.
Yeah, nothing positive about the game tonight. I just want that title. Wrap up that title.
So like do I. That's what really ticked me off about tonight.
You know, that's what's pissing me off. Excuse my French. You know, we should have done it on Saturday, and we gave away a late penalty tonight. I thought we were good value for a draw, albeit it was a poor game by both teams. And you know, thankfully, Bournemouth are dropping points. So in a way, it's going back to what we said before. It's a poor division. The fact that other teams aren't capitalizing on our inconsistency, I'm not sure is a positive. It's something that we need to consider quite, you know, in the summer. And like I said, the owners, you know, let's trust in them. They know what they need to do. And to be honest, they've already been scouring the market for a number of transfers. So I think hopefully we'll have a team that will make us more competitive next year and give us a better chance to survive. You know, we've got to trust in our owners. We've got to trust in them.
That's a good point. And I'm going to leave everyone with this because I've been giving this a lot of thought, and I'm glad we're talking about the owners and we're talking about the team. And I look at it this way, guys. I'm just going to talk about this if we did another show, and we'll talk about this on future shows. For me, the reason why I feel Fulham have a really good chance of staying up this time is I think that you need a triumvirate. And this is what in football, and maybe people will disagree with me, I think you need ownership. I think you need someone that is willing to spend money. We have that, and someone that cares about Fulham. We do have that in the cons. I'll say both cons. Regardless of what you think about the moves of Tony, he cares, and Shahid obviously cares. You have the manager, I believe, to keep you in the Premier League. I believe in Marco Silva. I think he's the right manager. You have to give him time. Whether we struggle or not, he should be there for the year. And you have the goal scorer. You have Mitrovic. If you have those three pieces, I think you have what it takes to stay in the Premier League. You need to get the recruitment right to build around, but you have to have the striker. You have that, but you need more pieces, and that goes back to ownership. And I think you're going to get the support. That's why I'm saying the triumvirate. Fulham have it this time. I don't think they had it last time. They had Scott Parker. Sorry, I had to end by saying Scott Parker. All right.
And tactics as well. I think we may need to have
the
right
goes back to the manager. But that goes back to the manager.
Let's talk about what the tactics are going to be next season. Are we going to play in formation than what we played this year? So we're going to see how we set ourselves up for next season.
It's a good point. But you have to have someone that you believe can get the tactics right. And I believe we do have that man. I do believe that. So that's why I wanted to mention Mitrovic, the cons, and, of course, Marco Silva. That's why I feel confident. Okay. All right. Great show, guys, but we do have to wrap this up. For Emilio Donello, the Foam Shadow, and Craig Coben, now retired. Thank you. I just want to mention that, Craig. Congratulations on your retirement.
But thank you.
But we can have you do the show with us, and I'm glad we can have you
back.
Awesome.
It's great to be on
the show. I'm Russ Coben. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute. And all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.